An example of an emotion that many people experience and don't control is anger. Something happens in life and we get angry. We come home and we let the whole family know we're angry. Something happened to us. We're disturbed on the inside. So everyone we meet should also be disturbed on the inside, because otherwise life's not fair, right? So if we're angry, we're going to make and upset on the inside because of it. We're going to make sure everyone else that we meet is upset on the inside. So the upset is evenly spread around. It's no fun at all if we're upset and no one else is. Those are the kinds of thoughts you actually go through. When you experience anger, it becomes irrational what you do. One of the problems with anger is we see it all over the place. And this gives license for us to be angry, we think. Gee, at school people are angry, at work people are angry all the time. I was raised, my parents were angry all the time in the home. On television we see anger. Anger's everywhere. Therefore it must be all right to be angry, because I see anger everywhere. Well, of course it's all right to be angry, but pursuing the spiritual path is different. To pursue the spiritual path and make progress, it's not all right to be angry. Gurudeva gives us two very specific sutras on this, just to make sure we understand. There's one for men and one for women. For men, he says, Siva's men devotees never argue with women, antagonize, disrespect, tease, or abuse them in any way. They are always kindly, protective, helpful, and understanding, honoring their mother spirit within women. And for women, he says, Siva's women devotees never become angry with a man, maliciously belittle or verbally abuse him, or use other emotional controls such as disdain, accusation, crying, or prolonged pouting, or silence. So as we talked about a few months ago, the more subtle forms of anger are just cold shoulder. You know, you don't speak to someone, you ignore them. But you're doing so because you're angry at them. So anger doesn't have to be violent. It can be very subtle, as this is pointing out. Well, why is anger such a problem? Because the chances of hurting someone when we're angry are up in the 90% somewhere, at least with our words. When we get angry, we tend to hurt people. There's a very, very high percentage of chance here we're going to harm someone because we've gotten angry, at least with our words. Harming them includes putting them into a state of fear. The mother and children are doing fine, having a great day at home, and then the father comes home and he's all upset about something that happened at work, and he bursts out in anger. What happens? The children go into fear. He goes on a little bit longer, the wife will go into fear. Children will go into fear first. But if it goes on for a while, the wife starts to worry. What's going to happen here? So we've put those we love into a state of fear. We've put them in a lower state of consciousness. We've lowered their state of consciousness by being in anger. We've hurt them just by that simple action. We've put them down in consciousness. We've made them less happy. So that's creating a karma. Just that simple action is creating a karma. Let alone if we keep going and start to verbally abuse them, make them feel bad about themselves, make them worry about life, then we're hurting them with our words. So anger is a problem, particularly in that regard, because we're going to hurt someone. Hurting someone creates karma. Hurting someone is against the first yama. We've got 20 basic principles here. They get more refined, and we're messing up on the first one. So this isn't good. Because the others don't work right if the first one is not in place. It's like the darshans of Panchaganapati. If we don't have harmony in the home, we can't expect the rest of our life to work out well. That's the foundation. Each one is built upon the other and is more subtle. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Koral has a whole chapter on anger, and it is placed, I'm sure, quite purposefully before the chapter on nonviolence. So showing that there's a relationship here between controlling anger, which is what's first, and then right after it is not being violent. So just a couple of the verses, each one is very good. Anger's fire engulfs all who draw near it, burning even friends and family who risk rescue. So that's the point we're making earlier, is that it hurts others, hurts your family, hurts even close friends when you get seriously angry. If they try and help you and you're serious about your anger, you'll just keep going and hurt them even more. As a man trying to strike the ground with his hand can hardly fail, just as surely will one who reassures his temper be destroyed. Mushika, you see Mushika go by? As a man trying to strike the ground with his hand can hardly fail, just as surely will one who reassures his temper be destroyed. Treasures his temper. That's what it is. I knew it wasn't reassures. The T is missing. Just as sure will one who treasures his temper be destroyed. That makes more sense. So it's a sure thing. It's pointing out in Tuta Balavar's way, he gives different messages to different people. This one is a rational message. If you allow yourself to be consumed by anger, then you're going to destroy yourself. It's very simple. So do you want to destroy your life? If the answer is no, then of course you have to think about controlling your temper. So that temper, that's what we call his reasoning approach. He gives three different levels. He gives a very high-minded approach, like, oh, the pure at heart would never get angry because they realize it's base behavior. Doesn't give any reason to do it. It's just the high-minded thing to do. Then he reasons you into it. Well, if you don't do it, you'll lose all your money. Someone says, I don't want to lose all my money. I better not do it. Then he has a third way, which he scares you to death. You know, if you're only motivated by fear, he says, oh, if you get angry at others, then you'll burn in hell forever. Well, he gives three levels to try and hit the gamut of humanity, you know, the range of humanity, distinctive intellectual and spiritual natures. So this is like an intellectual one. So what we're trying to impress here is how destructive anger is. And again, this isn't for present company, it's just for our broader audience on the web. Lots of people don't think about that. But if you think about it, it really hurts your family life, can significantly impact your health, can cause you to lose wealth, and certainly go backwards in your spiritual progress. Gurudeva was so impressed with anger when he came back from Malaysia, as we mentioned before, that and people doing puja who got angry, that he said, if you get seriously angry, you shouldn't do puja for 30 days. Otherwise, you'll be invoking the asuras rather than the devas. So that shows how seriously Gurudeva looked at it. So to summarize that part, What we're saying is that moksha ratau is a time to become conscious of the inside. What's going on inside of us? And if it's negative emotions, such as anger, to increase our control over them. And to watch the patterns of life. What is it that ticks us off? What is it that makes us upset, that disturbs us, that depresses us, that causes us to get agitated and angry? And try and break these patterns. Because what's going on inside of us, if we're happy, doesn't have to relate to what's going on outside of us. We can be going through the most difficult times on the outside and still be happy. It doesn't have to impact us. We don't have to have this simple action-reaction response that lots of people have. We can transcend that. So that's the idea of moksha ratau, in that level.